May it please the Court, my name is Ted Myers, and it is my privilege to appear before this panel and present on behalf of the appellants this appeal. The Worleys were severely injured in December 2010 by a drunk driver. That driver had a policy with Progressive which had $100,000 per person coverage subject to a $300,000 per accident payout cap. The Worleys, on the other hand, had a $1 million policy with Cincinnati, which had per-person coverage at $1 million and also subject to a $1 million per-accident payout cap. The issue before this Court is whether Cincinnati, under its terms of its policy or under Illinois law, can reduce its payout cap, the aggregate payout cap, by amounts received by other parties. It is our contention that the language of the policy, first, is quite clear that the only reductions to coverage...
It's hardly clear.
Well,
it says limit. It says we won't pay. Defines limit of insurance as the most we'll pay for all damages resulting from any one accident. And then it has the deduction, for the reduction. Well, so, sounds as if you have the $1 million cap and then you have the reduction for the amounts paid by other sources.
Well, I think that the confusion, Your Honor, comes from the dichotomy of...
I don't see any confusion. Well, it says the limit, the most we will pay for any one accident or loss. That's the $1 million, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
And that's to be reduced by all sums paid or payable by or for anyone who's legally responsible, right?
If you look at it from the per-person standpoint, under Sulzer, that's correct. That's fill the gap. The problem is when you apply that to the per-accident cap, what you're doing is...
I don't see any problem. What is the problem?
The problem is that by reducing the...
What difference should it make whether one person incurs the loss or two people?
Well, it goes to the question of the insurance that each person thought they had. That's what it goes to, Your Honor. Each person has $1 million of per-person coverage.
No, it's per accident. They know that if you're in an accident, 20 people with the insurance, all covered by this insurance policy, you're in one accident. From any one accident, the $1 million is the limit.
Well, you're looking at the limit, Your Honor, on the cap basis. It's the most that Cincinnati will pay out. It's not the most that each insured would receive, and I think that's where the problem comes in. The reductions go to the per person.
It doesn't say that.
If you look at the language of D2, which they quote as being
I'm
the reducer,
at D2.
D2 allows.
It says the limit of insurance, which is the shall be reduced by all sums. It doesn't say anything about per person.
It refers to the coverages, Your Honor, and the coverage is defined as a per-person basis, and look at what they're reducing it by, workers' compensation benefits and the type. What happens is when you go down this road is you violate Cummings, which says you cannot reduce the per-person underinsured coverage by amounts that the person does not receive. Payments to other parties does not reduce your per-person coverage under Illinois law. The underinsured statute is written on a per-person coverage basis. Now, they're backdooring this by reducing their aggregate, how much we're going to pay out. The months.
Where's your per-person coverage? What are you talking about? What's that?
Well, the underinsured coverage is defined on a per-person basis, Your Honor.
We're talking about...
In the statute, you don't mean in this policy.
In the policy, it starts off the most we'll pay.
Policy, I mean, I'm having a similar problem. The policy defines a limit of insurance from any one accident. So if there's one person in the car, two people in the car, four people in the car, that's all still one accident. And then it says you're going to reduce the limit in paragraph 2, except in the event of a settlement agreement. You reduce by these various kinds of payments that come in. Paragraph 3 addresses settlement agreements, the maximum limit of insurance for this coverage. So again, that's the amount by which the limit for this coverage exceeds, I guess, the limit for the other person's coverage, right?
Right. If you look at it starts off with what coverage is, Your Honor, and it defines that we will pay all sums the insured, singular. is legally entitled to recover.
But then it limits coverage. I mean, I understand that. It says that in paragraph A, but it tells you back down in D that there's going to be a cap.
Well, the payout cap is what the most disabled pay, no matter how many people are injured.
No, we understand this company's not going to pay more than $1 million, but
right.
They figured out a way to pay less than $1 million.
Well, I think D1 prevents them from paying $2 million and correctly limits that. But D1 is defined as the most we will pay out. It does not say our coverage is limited by that. D2 speaks of coverage limitations and says it'll be limited by workers' compensation payments and the like, which, can you imagine if the other party or another insured gets workers' compensation benefits, why that should reduce the other insured benefits. Now, the insureds don't have to be related parties. They can be very unrelated parties under this policy. It happens to every husband and wife. Doesn't have to be that case.
No,
how
course,
is it
yeah.
fair that that happens? And I think what's most telling, Your Honors, is that...
Because it's a per-accident policy. I mean, presumably, if the world is working correctly, the premium reflects all of that.
Sure, but when you look at Cummings... and you allow a reduction of the aggregate and then cause a reduction of the per person, you're violating the statute, you're violating Cummings. You cannot reduce my coverage based on a third party's payments, other claimants' payments. I think that's what's pretty clear. Even if you find that language not ambiguous, Cummings would require them to pay without reduction. Now, the example which they responded in the brief said, well, if we change the facts and Robert Worley only had $100,000 of damages, under their theory, Heike Worley's would go down to $800,000. They said, no, we would not do that. Now, there's no policy language that says why they wouldn't do that. Let's change the example. Let's say Robert's damages were $105,000. At that point, under their theory, I guess Heike's goes from $900,000 to $800,000. It makes no sense. It's not allowed under Cummings. The insurer is entitled to what they expected to get. Subject to, the most Cincinnati has to pay, they could have 50 insured. The most they'd have to pay is $1 million. But
okay.
They can't reduce the individual's
right. Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Myers. Mr. Leamy.
May it please the Court, Counsel. We think the district court got the case correct. The plaintiff is critical. I'm sorry, the appellant is critical of the district court, arguing that he misunderstood the Cummins case. I submit that it's the appellant who misunderstands. The issue in Cummins, not when a tortfeasor has a policy of insurance with the same limits as the underinsured coverage, there is truly an underinsured motorist. And the court said you look to, per the statute, what the insured actually recovered. And in that case, he recovered less than the limits of the underinsured coverage, so he was entitled to seek and that's the identical situation here. I'll omit from the argument the statutory construction rules and contract, as the court well understands those that law, except to say that the one thing we do agree on, apparently today, is that there is no ambiguity in the policy, and there's no and which means under the rules of construction that the contract is given its plain meaning as it was intended by the parties. I think the one issue that was omitted in the appellant's brief is that you must read the policy in conjunction with the statute. When he says some hypothetical third person could diminish the recovery of the insured, it's not correct. Statute says, in speaking of how do you identify the reduction from the limits, you must look to the amount of money actually recovered, is what the statute says, by the underinsured claimant. In this case, the underinsured claimants actually recovered $200,000. That per D2 is reduced from the limits, reducing the limits from $1 million to $800,000, as was properly done in this case.
How does the settlement part of paragraph 3 work in your view? Can you give me an example of that?
Your Honor, I don't think it has specific application of this case. I think what that section is intended to address is a situation where there's a settlement made with the underinsured driver, and so long as it's a settlement agreement which is approved by the carrier, that determines the reduction. In this case, there was a settlement. It was approved in advance so that we could get to this issue. The only law that is directly on point is found in the Triana case and the Obenland case. And I submit to the court that the result in those cases governs here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Leamy. Mr. Myers, do you have anything further? You can have a minute.
The Cummins case, I think, confirms, the Supreme Court of Illinois plus Sulzer confirms that underinsured coverage is meant to fill the gap. There's no question in this case that the Worley's gap is not fulfilled. Their damages far exceed what they have recovered. The question before this panel, I think it's an important question, and I think it's being glossed over by the Cincinnati, is why should one insured be punished because another insured also has a claim? Why should there be a reduction? I submit the policy language does not allow for it, and the Cummins case, as well as the statute, does not permit it.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.